prayer, and this will kind of lead us into where I want to take us, and I feel that the Lord wants to just share with us a little bit today. And you'll probably get the gist of it as I begin to read it. There was a man who had four sons. He wanted his sons to learn not to judge things too quickly. So he sent them each on a quest in turn to go and look at a pear tree that was a great distance away. The first son went in the winter, the second in the spring, the third in summer, and the youngest son went in the fall. When they had all gone and come back, he called them together to describe what they had seen. Well, the first son, he comes and he says, "Oh, man, that tree was ugly. It was bent and twisted." The second son said, "No." Said it was covered with green buds, full of promise. The third son, he disagreed with all of them. He says, "Well," he said, "it was laden with blossoms that smelled so sweet and looked so beautiful, it was the most graceful thing he'd ever seen." The last son, he, guess what? He disagreed with them all. He said it was ripe and drooping with fruit, full of life and fulfillment. So the man then explained to his sons that they were all right. And they were, weren't they? They each saw that tree at its particular stage of time in the season that it would be in, because they had each seen it in the season of the tree's life. He had told them that they cannot judge a tree or a person by one season, or that the essence of who they are and the pleasure, joy, and love that come from that life can only be measured at the end when all the seasons are up. If you give up when it's winter, you will miss the promise of your spring, the beauty of your summer, the fulfillment of your fall. Don't let the pain of one season destroy the joy of all the rest. So we're going into Ecclesiastes, and that's that well-known scripture of 3:1. And I got nice little photos of some trees there. Seasons of a life. Seasons of a tree. And I believe each one of us could look at those trees and say, "You know what? I've been there. In that circle of life, I've been there." There are some of you in here today. You're in that top left one. Budding out. Getting ready to bloom. Getting ready to leaf out, man. Some are on the right side. Fully leafed and just enjoying the life. Amen. Bottom left. Things have kind of drying up a little bit. Things are changing. Going through some things happening in your life. Things are changing. And then on the right, some of you might be going, "Man, I'm barren. I just feel like I'm out there, but I don't hear God. I don't feel or sense God in my life. I'm going through such tremendous things that I just can't see the other realms of my life and how they at once had been." But as we look at this in Ecclesiastes 3:1, this is out of the New American Standard, there's a time for everything. And today I want to let you know that there's a time for everything in your life. I know we all like good times, right? But we also know that along with the good, there's going to be some struggles, there's going to be some strife, there's going to be some tribulations and things that the Word has already shared with us that to be ready for. And when those things come, they shouldn't surprise us, should they? When His Word is telling us that there will be those times, only when those times come, we ought to muster up and say, hey, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And my God says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That He will go before me. He's behind me. He's on all sides of me. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I'm pretty encouraged. How about you? And so as I go through these seasons, and one, you know, for a while I'm blooming out, and the next time I got nice and color, and the other time I'm kind of bare and I'm going through some things, I've still got to know that there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event in my life, in your life. So what season are you in? What season are you coming out of? What season are you getting ready to go into? Maybe some of you are already smack dab in the middle of that season. Isn't that amazing how we can look? And even though our numbers are small here, I could tell you there's probably, a half a dozen different things that people are going through that are not all the same. And there's some that aren't here that I know that they're going through some tremendous things in life right now. Just by talking to them on the phone and praying with them. And it's just like it blessed their hearts, but they're still strong in God and they're still, you know, have faith. And they go, well, he's always been there for me, you know. But I'm just going through a struggle now. A season that they're going through. So what is a season? We find a definition of a season. It says this, it's a fit or suitable time. Now we all like good times. We all like the glory of the Lord. We all like the joy of the Lord. We all like the presence of the Lord. We all like his movement in our life and being everything to us and keeping us strong and being our provider. Season also is the convenient time, or it's the usual or appointed time. Any time as distinguished from others. So a season is any time that's distinguished. It's just change in life. Do you realize how boring life would be if we didn't change? Now, I know we'd all like to be like, you know, 21, but when I was 21, you know, I wanted to be 30. I wanted to be mature. 45, I wanted to go back to 21. Now that I'm 57, I'd like to go back to 40. 40 was good. But back when I was 12 and 13, I wanted to be 18. You know, we want to grow up. We always think that next age, that next bracket is better. Well, the longer I've lived and the more that I get these applications in the mail, and I've said this before, I loved it when I was like one or two dots down from the top of the age bracket. But things have changed because now I'm at one or two dots just before the end of the whole thing. It's like, where did all my dots go? It's like, what in the world happened? Well, I've gone through seasons of life. I've gone through changes. I've gone through growing and maturing. And no, it's not always been good. I've never been always perfect in those things. I've been developing. Have you been developing? Are you growing? Are you learning new things? Even though, because it does say his mercies are new every day. So as we go through our life, it's neat, really, to sit and talk to people and how things are going. And it's not like, you know, I shared with my wife, and I might share with you guys here too, but visiting with some of these pastors on Thursdays, and I tell my wife, I said, yeah, you know, the struggles that I see things at our church, I said, they have the same things at their churches, and they're a Lutheran, and they're this, and they're that. And I go, now, honey, we don't just get together and have a crying time. It's not like us pastors get together, it's like, there's an old Western song, there's a tear in my beer, you know, type thing. It's not that we're hanging out on the table and go, well, I got a story that'll beat yours. I'll tell you what my church is not doing, you know. But we gather together and it's like, you know what? We all go through things. We all suffer and we all, you know, have great times. So I find it an encouragement. So I say that to say this, that I find it an encouragement, and you should find encouragement getting with one another sometimes. And just realize, you know what? And don't we already know this, that there's always someone out there that is really, hate to say it, but worse off. You know, when you're praying with somebody on a health situation, bless their hearts when they say, but you know, I'm going through this, but there's somebody that's a lot worse off than I am. But we are praying for them anyway because they have a need at that time. It's not to say that other need is any more severe. It's not to say that their need is less, because with my God, they're all the same. And so that's why I have comfort, I have a surety. I know that when I go and I pray with someone, whether it's, you know, they got a sore arm, hallelujah, he'll touch that arm. Somebody's going through heart procedures, hallelujah, he'll touch that heart. When somebody's going through a cancer operation, he'll touch that situation. But he'll see it in God's eyes of, it's all the same to him. He just wants to heal us or bless us or be there for us. And then have our faith build and our faith grow and all these things. So that's a lot to say about the seasons of times and what we go through, but we all are going through these things. New King James in Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. We've already got it up there in the New American Standard Bible for where it says, for everything there's a season, an appointed time for everything. The Message will say this, an opportune time. See, we've got to look at things in our life of seasons and as they come, and we're leafed out, we're green, we're going good, everything's great, hallelujah, glory to God, you know. Then we fall into maybe we're getting to lose our leaves, some of it, and then all of a sudden we go to bare, but all of a sudden we have blooms starting to come back, we're seeing life in us again. We're just going through that cycle. But we find that the things that I've dealt with in my life, I find it that really it's an opportune time for me to see the hand of God move mightily in it. It's an opportunity for me to say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but I know that I know that I know that you're with me. I know that I heard you in this situation. And even what your word is saying as far as what you'll do for me and how your word will be there for us. It's an opportune time to see him. It's a sad thing. I try to encourage us all, myself included, to notice the goodness of God, the blessings of God every day when everything is going great. And it's trying to get people to focus on that look at all these things that's happening. Everything good is happening. Praise God. Bless God. See the hand of God in all of it. But in most of us and the things that we deal with and maybe other people that we come into contact with, did you notice that sign out there before you pulled into the church that's out there? Something about talk to God before the problem. I don't know why I put that out there. I did it Monday, you know, after Pastor left, and I had to redo the whole thing, and I had letters going everywhere. But it's like, talk to God before the problem. Because we will always come to God with the problem, amen? And, you know, his grace and mercy, praise God. I love him for that. He's there for that. You know, even though I might have not paid attention to him for 3 weeks, the fourth week, something tremendous happens, and I go to him, oh, God, this situation has happened. I need help. I need direction. I need some, you know, finances or whatever the case might be. And he's there to hear me. My desire and my goal, and I'm working at it, and I hope you are too, is that I've been in touch with him for those first 3 weeks as well, but saying, God, I love you. God, you're awesome. God, you're mighty. God, I love you so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my grandkids. Thank you for the church. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for the roof over my head. You know, we get into all kinds of things we just begin to thank him for. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you? I just got to believe that he enjoys hearing the, hey, God, you're right on, man, more than he does, oh, God, help me now. Although he'll do that. But I just want him to see me as a child of his that, Tim, you're recognizing my hand in your life every day. Especially in the good times. Because, see, in the good times, we usually think that it's us doing it. Or we're just going through and life is good and there's no problems. And we know that that's generally the time that you really end up talking to people is when they're having a rough, rough time. Wayne, you do a lot of ministry in the jail, don't you, brother? You know, those people there, they're there for some bad things, and I'm sure a lot of them want to begin to reach out to God then, you know, and hallelujah, that's the greatest time to get a hold of them sometimes, so, you know. And there's some good fruit that comes out of that type of ministry. We can't look at it all as saying, because I tell you what, even though they're in there, incarcerated, we talk about it at times, and I think about it at times, that they're just incarcerated with bars around them in the physical where they can see it. The people that are still in the world that are lost, they're really incarcerated as well, but they just don't realize it. So at least in there, they've got the physical to say, I need help. I need to straighten my life out. I need to change. And bless God, Wayne's there to help do that through scriptures and just befriending them, I'm sure. But we've all seen that and heard that. But don't let that discount, even though they come at that struggle and they say, oh, I need God now, don't kick them in the shins and say, well, you should have had him 3 weeks ago. Take that opportunity to share him with them, hallelujah. Because it might be that opportune time that's somewhere in this Ecclesiastes thing that for the message saying that opportune time in that person's life to really open up and hear some of the good things that God has for them. And then we've got to encourage them and help them and direct them and do what we can. Amen. So we find this in Ecclesiastes that, and we don't really know the author of it. A lot of people are saying that Solomon's writings because of the types and things that are mentioned. So we just put it here. Solomon's point in this verse is to share that God has a plan for all of the people. He provides cycles of life, each with its work for us to do. I don't care where you're at in the spectrum of those trees, and those trees represent your life, where you're at, and things that you're going through. God is working in all of those spaces. May not feel it, may not think it, may not see it, but he's working in those areas, isn't he? Although we may feel that we face problems that seem to contradict God's plan, they should not be barriers to believing what God has for us. And God has for everybody the same, amen? Not respecter of persons. The tremendous blessings, the things that he's done for me, for you, he will do for anybody else out there on that street as they come into that relationship, as they receive him as their Lord and Savior. But they should not be barriers to believing what God has for us, these things that happen. But rather, they're opportunities to discover that although we have a problem, now how many here sometimes have an S at the end of that? Problems. Sometimes we deal with that a lot with some individuals. Problems. It's like you hear their problems in their life, and it's like, oh, my Lord. We hear that with our pantry here sometimes. You just sit and counsel some of these people, and it's like you can be weighted down after just one person. Well, how's it going? Well, this. What about this and this? It's like, oh, my Lord. Sometimes after they leave, and I used to counsel, I thought, oh, Lord, woo, they need big help. But you're a big God. But they got a lot on their plate. Could happen to us as well. There's some people in our churches, some people, Christians, that have a lot on their plate. And they get frustrated, and they run instead of running to him. And they're in that barren's time, and they're running from him. They're saying, ah, enough of this stuff with God, because evidently his plans aren't working in me, or it's just a fallacy or something. But we got to look at it as rather opportunities to discover that although we have problems or problems, God is still with us to get us through or to pass over or by or whatever that problem or problems. How many here today, sometime in the last week, the last month, you've come through a problem? The Lord has been faithful. He's brought you through it. Well, a few. If I say 6 months, 2 years ago, I know some of us, we've all had some problems come up in our life. Come on. If that's not the case, then it's only me? Come on, God. But we go through these things, and he's there and very faithful to help us. Amen. Do you find encouragement in that? I do. I find encouragement in this word. I find looking at this here, oh, my goodness. And, you know, you kind of get into this realm because, oh, well, here we are. We're in the fall, and I've mulched leaves now several times out of the same tree because they just don't all fall at the same time. You know, it depends on the climate and the weather and the temperature. And when you got a tree that's got a lot of leaves, they don't all just go boom. They just here and there. Today it's awesome. I wish I could have stayed home because now our tree is just about bare. But I love to sit under that tree or just stand out there and just hear the tree or the leaves fall through the empty branches. It is so peaceful. You guys are going to think I'm crazy, but it's like, it's kind of soothing to me. Kind of reminds me of that passage where God says he sees even a sparrow fall, knows the number of hairs on our heads and things. But to hear that leaf just tenderly come through there, and sometimes that leaf, when he's coming out, he knocks another leaf or two with him. But anyway, God is still with you as you go through a situation. So we should find encouragement within the Word of God. Amen. So we do find encouragement in the Word of God. We find it in some scriptures here. I'm just going to kind of run through some. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him. He cares for you. Do you believe that he cares for you? I hope so, because his word says so. And if you believe his word is his word, amen. I believe it. Now we find in the Amplified where it says, casting the whole care, or all of your care, all of, and that care is, and we've shared this, and you're not, you know, this is not news to you guys, okay? But anxieties, worries, concerns, all these things that we have, and you know, can you believe that even Christians have anxieties and worries and concerns? Can you believe those Christians? Well, we kind of do. It's life, guys. It's life. But it's what you do with them. It's life for all of us, but it's the difference between those that have Christ in their life and those that don't is how you deal with it. Those that don't have Christ in their life may hit the bottle, may do drugs, may run from it, may go on a spending spree, may do whatever. But those with Christ in their life, they go through an anxiety, worries, or concerns. Maybe they go to God in prayer. Say, Lord, help me get through this. Take this worry, take this concern from me, Father. My goodness, if you do that, watch out. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety or worry, and the New Living will say worry, and a man's heart weighs him down. When we have worries in our life, you've just gained weight. Well, glory to God. Worry will weigh you down. And when you get weighted down, what do you feel like not doing? I don't feel like going anywhere. Don't feel like getting out of the easy chair. I just don't feel like I want to do it. It's not until you lighten the load and get some of that behind you or off of you that you feel like you can now run a race, amen? And we run that race that sets before us, that marathon that we're on, hallelujah, until we're called home. It's a race that doesn't end until you're called home. And along that race path, there's going to be adversity and concerns and worries and things like that, but it's what you do with them. How long do they stay upon your thoughts? Is it just a fleeting moment? You know, you come into some problems, you turn it over to God and say, hallelujah, take care of them, Lord. Now, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to thank you. Sometimes we get into that area of prayer, and it's like, how often do we need to pray about the same thing? Well, I would say, you know, there's all kinds of scriptures that, you know, pray once, do this. If you pray more than that, you're down, blah, 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 blah. I would just say you just have to pray until you feel released from God, until you feel like, you know what, I'm just going to start thanking him. And that's what we share with some people. When they've prayed and prayed and prayed maybe for the same thing and the answer's not been there yet, we just say, you know what, do you believe he's heard you? Yeah? Well, then let's just thank him. Let's just praise him. Let's just worship him for the answer that's on its way. And while that answer is on its way, Lord, my strength is yours. I am gaining, and I'm just going to allow you to just fill me with your strength. Because I do not want to be weighted down with this worry. Because when I get weighted down with this worry, I don't think upon things clearly. When you're anxiety, you don't think clearly on how to respond to things. You make irrational choices. And then you got to go what that sign says. Pray, you know, talk to God before the problem. Sometimes we just get into one problem after another, after another, after another, because we're running to and fro and trying to fix it ourselves, rather than, okay, Lord, this is the season I'm in. I'm not going to worry to the point of abandoning the ship. I'm just going through this time of season, and I know that I'm going to come through it. Look at his nature around us to see how those things work. That cycle of living, that cycle of life, how things happen. You know, if it wasn't for the trees to lose their leaves, if a snow came, it would break the branches probably. It would hurt the trees, you know. Self-pruning. I was reading a little bit about, you know, the chloroform and the oxygen and the carbon dioxide and all this stuff and the photosynthesis. Oh, my goodness. Felt like I was back in science class. But trying to get an understanding, you know, the colors of the reds and the oranges and all that, there's small traces of that already in that leaf, even though it's nice and green. And it's not until the weather starts changing and the water and all that starts from the roots going up, and after it gets up into the leaf and goes through this photosynthesis and it takes care of that chloroform or whatever that is, and it's coloring green, once it starts turning cold, you know, the water stops going up because it doesn't want to freeze inside the veins of the tree, so it restricts back. But as it's in its full life, it says something about glucose comes back out of that leaf and goes back down into the roots in the cycle of its life. Water up, sun, chloroform, oxygen, carbon dioxide. Talks about trees doing a great job of filtering pollution out of the air. I've heard of that, haven't you? You know, it's great to have a bunch of trees around because it actually is God's or nature's way of purifying the air of pollutants. Because the leaves draw it in, takes it in, sends it through its system down, and all that turns into glucose, and I don't understand it myself. I wouldn't even understand it even if I stayed at Holiday Inn. I just would not be a good commercial farm, because I'd still be, you know, dumber than a stack of rocks. Like, I don't know, I just read it, you know. But if I read it on the web, it's got to be true. No. But anyway, it's the cycle of things of how that works. But I found that interesting is that even in that tree that's all green up there, that color on the left, on the lower left, it's already in that leaf or leaves. You just don't see it. There's just little traces of the yellows and the oranges. And it's only when it stops drawing the nutrients from the ground because the sunlight's not as prevalent that all of a sudden the green, that's what causes the green, is the chloroform in it turns green. Well, it stops doing that, so then all of a sudden the colors start coming out. So, but that's, I look at stuff like that and I think about life and the cycles with life with God. See, when I look out there, I see good things in a lot of you, all of you. There's little bits and pieces that God has put in you. And sometimes it's us that try to help pull that out of you. It's sometimes a person that's helping you as a discipler, helping pull those things out of you. It's the church body that's here to help you, to help pull those things out of you. Because God has placed those things, those nuggets of things that he's got in your life, and you just have to pull those things out, or you have to go through a cycle, you have to go through a season to where all of a sudden that particular thing begins to grow and mushroom because of the cycle of what you're in. The seasons of a time for everything. Haven't you found yourself growing deeper in the things of God when you've come out of a situation or some problems? You find yourself, it's kind of like the way of going to the gym and building up your muscles. I've said that before. I haven't done that. So don't look at my muscles. But as we go through things, and we allow God to move in our lives, and we just push it up to him, amen? Don't push the problem out. Gain your faith muscles by pushing it up to him, saying, Lord, I lift this concern up to you. I take this concern and this care of this problem, I lift it up to you. And as you're lifting that up, think of it as exercise and building your muscles so that when you come back, you could be very big and big strong. And maybe you could be governor one day. You got to live in my world sometimes, guys, because, woo! My wife says, we're driving. She always says, you can entertain yourself so easy. Things that I say, noises I make when I'm driving, you name it. I said, honey, you got to do something to keep yourself alert on the highway, you know? But casting those cares, the anxieties, all those things upon him. And I like this at the end of 1 Peter 5:7, because it says he cares for you affectionately and cares about you. He cares for you affectionately and cares about you. Wow. That's God. You ain't going to find that even in your family sometimes or your coworkers or anybody that you have, you know. Wow, that's my God. Woo! Say that. Hey, that's my God. Hey. Proverbs, what did I say? Anxiety is worry. It weighs the heart down. Remember, we got into that, so we got to get that out. Also, God is our refuge. And Psalms 46:1, New Century Version says, God is our protection. We need to be protected, guys, from the things going on around us. We need to be protected from the God of this world. I know we're strong and mighty in Him, you know, God, and the Holy Spirit within us, you know. But there is still a devil out there that's sneaking around like a roaring lion, whom he may devour. And the thing is, my thought process is, he's more attuned, the devil, of trying to destroy a life of a Christian, because he's already got the lost and those already going to hell out there because they don't have Christ in them. So the devil's already got that account full, or accounted for it, but he's out looking in the people that call themselves maybe those of faith to say, I am one of his children. So the devil's going to look at what he can do to sneak around, but it talks about who he may destroy or may kill or whatever. Amen? So that gives me encouragement, because anytime I hear that or see that word may, he's got to, that sounds very polite. And I said one time, it's like he's got to come up to you and say, Luke, may I destroy your life? You know, who he may destroy. You will know it if you're tuned into the Spirit of God, because if you're led by the Holy Spirit, there will be an alert in you. Beep, 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 beep. Warning, warning. We could go way back to Lost in Space. Remember that show? You knew that, didn't you? Yeah, yeah, it's good to have some old people here. Oh. Warning, warning, warning. Warning, Will Robinson, warning. You know? Wow, this is scary. You guys are thinking like me now. Whew, I think I... The 50s. Yeah. But, you know, the protection that we have from him in this world, of the God of this world, my protection is from my Lord. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I'm not out looking for the devil. I'm not wanting to fight him. I'm not looking up and down every street corner saying, ah, come out, wherever you are, devil, I want to beat you up. I don't do that. I'm just flowing with the things of God and focusing on God. And every once in a while, that old devil might come across my path. But when he does, be that of the Holy Spirit alerting me to those things, and I say, well, gee, how did my Savior take care of that devil? I just got to speak to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus didn't shadow box. Jesus didn't punch and, you know, dope a rope thing and all that type of stuff. He just said, get thee behind me, Satan, using the Word of God and knowing what the Word of God says. So, anxieties, worries, he's my refuge, hallelujah. Isaiah, but those who wait, Isaiah 40:31, New Living says, those who trust on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Hallelujah. Anybody, I know, you almost have to, when you see an eagle, don't you stop and just watch them? It's dangerous when you're driving, but... It's when my co-pilot, my wife, says, keep your eyes on the road. I said, man, I'm looking at this big eagle, or it's a big vulture. I don't know what. Anyway, big birds, and they're graceful up there, just soaring on the currents of the wind. But those who wait, trust upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. Has your strength been renewed? Are you renewing your strength? If you need your strength renewed, my advice to you is wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 then says, But the people who trust the Lord will become strong again. That tells me that, you know, maybe you had a bout of some fights, some things, and you were knocked out a little bit. You were down. The power source in you was taken away a little bit, you know. But in this here it says, but the people who trust the Lord will become strong again. So it gives me that opportunity to know that there's an again in my life. That even though I've gone through something, through this season of whatever I'm into, that I can come back up again strong, because I've gone to the source. I've gone back to him, and I've said, Lord, I need you. I'm going to wait upon you. I'm going to sit here. I'm not going to do nothing else until I hear from you. And I'm going to cast my care. Talks about casting that care. It's like what? The thought process is rolling a boulder up onto something. Just roll that boulder up and just leave it there. So the people who trust in the Lord will become strong again. They will rise up As an eagle in the sky, they're going to run and not need rest. They will walk and not become tired. Amen. So there's a lot of good things in Isaiah. Getting back to Ecclesiastes 3:1. Talks about that timing is important. Things that happen in your life, you know, they surprise us, don't they, at times? Do you think they surprise God? He knows it all from the beginning to the end and everything in between. I find great comfort in knowing that my God has already got my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week planned out. He has my tomorrows already planned out. See, what I've got to do is I've got to connect to him. Like that plug one time when I plugged into the wall and things, we got to plug into that source. Because if he's already got my ways taken care of and he's already prepared that path for me, all I want to do is be found faithful to just follow that path. Okay, so there's some adversity there. Big deal. I got God on my side. Kick it aside. Go through it. Go by it. Oh, my goodness. Don't let it hold you up. Timing is important. We can see by the experiences through the scriptures and through Ecclesiastes and through the first part of the book is that these scriptures are appropriate at certain times. The secret to peace with God is to discover, accept, and appreciate God's perfect timing. And his time is not our time, is it? What is that scripture that talks about? A day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day, and all these things that we think about. So that tells us that if we try to reason with God on our earthly time schedule, we had already turned our clocks back 1 hour today. Some of that, it's a great effort at times. You know, you got these clocks that, you know, it bongs and does things every hour, and it's like, well, you can't really go backwards and all this. You're supposed to go all the way through the cycle. So I've done that many years. But yesterday, I started thinking. An hour, I'm gonna take the battery out of that clock at 1 hour, and when 1 hour comes back, I'm just going to put that battery back in. Hey, doesn't take much to get me excited and pleased. I think, I've conquered it! Hallelujah! Wow, I'm not a dummy no more. It's like, ha, I got things bong, bong, bleep, bleep. I got a bird clock that tweets and birds. I tell you the truth, I don't really know if it's the right bird going off at the right time because I don't really know what the birds sound like, you know? One time when I did that last year back, or I had to change the batteries or something like that, I go, is that really a wren, or is that really a yellow belly sapsucker, or I don't know. They all sound like birds to me. You know? So I thought, they're going to say, you know, Tim, you got too much time on your hands. So I went online. I'm going to find the next bird that's in that next hour. I'm going to look him up. I found him. Then I went to the audio file. So now I got the audio file all ready to go when that thing clocked and ding. I was going to play it and listen to it on the computer to see if I was on the right bird or not. I know, too much time. That's like, I use the internet to help me. That's what they say. It's there to help us. I can't even tell if I really figured out what I had anyway. Anyway. But it was a thought process that I thought, I got this figured out. Now, I'm the same guy that used to watch Three Stooges. Still do on Saturday mornings sometimes. I just love them. They are funny. I laugh. It makes me healthy, strong, young. And I know how to not cook a turkey. I know you got to take the stuff out of the cans before you just throw the whole cans in there. They were like the first cooking show before the Food Channel. You know? They should have had them on first. But it's to accept and appreciate God's perfect timing. That's the key. God's perfect timing. I know there's times in my life I sometimes would doubt it or think, Lord, I just don't think this is right. I think we're late, blah, blah, blah. But I've always realized that his timing is perfect if I just rest with him. The danger is to doubt or resent his timing, to begin to doubt those things. That's what the enemy likes to do. The enemy likes to plant those doubts in you to where you begin to doubt those things. It's like, whoa, maybe he has left me. Maybe he's not really here. Maybe I'm out of his... Maybe all these things are happening. And, And all of a sudden those doubts begin to turn, my anxiety starts turning up a little bit, all these things begin to happen, and now I'm just like a plane without a tail. You know, I just, you know, there's no stability. And when there's no stability in a Christian's life, you're just like, basically you're just like the lost person out there as well. You know, because it's like, man, you ought to know better. You ought to know this stuff. You ought to know where your help comes from. You ought to know at least where to turn, you know, to find some help and support. So anyway, dangerous to doubt or resent God's timing. Doing so will lead to despair, rebellion, or moving forward in a situation that's not in God's timing. Has anybody ever moved forward and you thought it was God's timing and it really wasn't, it was yours? Man, it usually doesn't fulfill what you think. So then you get so far, you go, well, wait a minute. I appreciate it. Remember, Pastor Hoblet would say many times, and you'd hear it through different people, would say, go back to where you last heard his voice. At least go back there and stop. And then stay there for a little bit and let that communication hook back up maybe. Oh, okay, I'm back with you, Lord. The Lord would probably say, well, Tim, I've been waiting for you. Now, here's what we're going to do. Walk those things out. There's a lot of scriptures there that I won't be getting into, I guess, as far as things like, but we think about the disciples out on the boat, you know, and Peter's in there, and you know, Jesus is on the water, and he beckons him to come, and then he reaches, and he gets out, and he starts walking towards him, and takes his eyes, and puts his eyes on the circumstances, and all, we all know that story, but then it talks about where Jesus says, what little faith you have, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And we may even hear that in our lives sometimes. Why did you doubt me, Tim? It's like, I'm sorry, Lord. I just took my eyes off of you for just a split second and on the problem, and that problem got my attention too much, and before I knew it, I was sucked into it. But I had to get back out of it and go to where his hand was there for me. Talks about in James 1:6 that, you know, whoever doubts is like that wave in that sea that's being driven by the wind. When you begin to doubt the things of God, the devil will just begin to just throw things at you and change and just like taking that tub and just sloshing a little bit, and pretty soon you're going up and down and you're like, oh no. There's a lot of good scriptures here, guys. It's 11:59. When you get to this point here, in Romans 8:35, New King James, I read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? New Living says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Wow. Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? That we're persecuted, that we're hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Does this mean that he no longer loves me? No, he loves you. But it's a season, possibly. Maybe it's something you brought on yourself. We do that a lot, but maybe it's just a time of our seasons, and there's that time for everything in our lives. And yeah, we all want to be on the high side. We all want to be here and everything's going good, but I just know that I know, and we have those down times too. You know, what's that song? You know, he's God. He's the same God. He's God on the mountain. He's the God in the valley, and he's always there. So he's not left you nor forsaken you. This passage, as we look at this in Romans 8:35, all it is doing is reaffirming God's love for you. That no matter what happens to you, doesn't matter where you're at in your life, that you will never be separated from him. The only way you will be separated from him is if you willingly separate yourself from him. You do dumb things, repent and ask for forgiveness and come back to him. But there could be a time or whatever that you just totally obliterate everything that he has for you and does for you, and you just go lost into the whole thing of the world. I don't know. That's kind of silly to do that after you know all of his blessings and all that, but he's never going to leave you, you, people will always leave him because they don't quite understand what they're going through and how could God do this. But it's encouraging, it's strengthening, it's things that we've got to know. Followers of Christ have always faced hardship somewhere along the path that they've walked. Problems would be in the form of persecution, illness, imprisonment, maybe even death. Going through such situations could easily make a person think that God has abandoned them. But here we find Paul in writing of this in Romans, that nothing will separate us from God. I find encouragement in that. I don't know if you guys do. I found also, just as we close here, in Ecclesiastes, if I go into chapter 2 and just jump up one verse from 3, so it's Ecclesiastes 2:26, where it says, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God." And then it goes on to say, "This is also is vanity and grasping for the wind." And there's a lot into that you can get into, but I was just, the very first part, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight." Let us be good in his sight, knowing what all he has for us, amen? And I'm not just doing it just so I can get all that stuff. It's just, it's there because it's who God is. And it's what God wants to do in us. So I encourage you, no matter what you look like, that tree on the bottom right looks good, man. Because you got to look at that and say, you know, in another season or two, it's going to be blooming again. It's going to be active. It's going to be doing its thing. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord, for being here today with us. Wow. We want to wait upon you for your tithe and your giving. Give as the Lord has blessed you, and if you want to follow his word of the tithe of 10% of your first fruits, that'd be a good honoring thing and an obedience to him. But I just encourage you to do what you can do and what God has spoken to you to do and what you feel comfortable with. Well, knowing that he's a God of love and provision, and he knows where we're all at. It's also missions, so if you have a mission giving, feel free to do that as well. Please mark separately or on the envelope or something else as far as your mission giving at that as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, Lord, I love you. You guys find that you're not alone? You know, when you got his word with you and reading it and just meditating on it, and I love him. Wow. But he loves me. I don't know why sometimes. But I have fun with him and he has fun with me. Have a long way to go to even understand more of him. How about you? But he's loving and patient. And he just wants to see us wanting it, I guess. You know, like, Lord, I just want more. More, Lord! You know, just more of understanding and how I can be pleasing to you. Hallelujah.